Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, I want to welcome everyone to the call this morning. I tell you, you know, doing these shows like we've done over the last few months, you get to appreciate a lot of stuff. And one of the things that I appreciate is how many of our listeners get up on the West Coast, get up in Mountain Time, just to be on this show. So many times, Jimmy and I and Mark find it so easy to do these shows because we're on the East Coast, we're in Central Time Zone. But my hat is off, and I really want to thank our listeners who get up out there on the West Coast at this early hour to be on this show and to just grab those nuggets. I think that's great. Jimmy, how you doing this morning?
I'm doing absolutely awesome, man. It's, you know, I was just listening to you talk about the folks that get up on the West Coast and everything, and, you know, it occurred to me that there are times that we've got people who are on the show from as far away as Alaska and Hawaii as well. And,
that's true.
And you talk about people that are dedicated to themselves, dedicated to the concept of development. Man, that's just absolutely, you know, it's like we talked about yesterday. It's an honor to be respected enough that they want to take the time out of their morning to share with us. And I don't know if it's getting up that early for some of them or if they're just working nights and they figure we're a way to pass the time while they're working, you know.
Yeah, no doubt.
But, you know, in either case, Troy, it's such a neat honor. I mean, that's the best way that I can sum it up.
I agree, buddy.
For people to trust us enough to share their valuable time with us.
Well, and that's the fun thing, because it is a way to get started in the morning. And I know that I catch myself through the day now going back and listening to archives, not to hear myself or to hear you, but to regather some of those nuggets that as a coach and as a mentor, when you're training people, you it's second nature. But then when you hear it back, and even if it's yourself saying it, all of a sudden you start to say, aha, that's what I'm missing. That's what I need to apply to my life. And I challenge everybody, if you're out there and you've missed some of our shows, go back and listen to the archives, especially the Law of Connection from our last series. I think it is so impactful that you understand that network marketing, that any business, if you're in a retail type of business where you're dealing with people and you're not working for NASA building a spaceship somewhere, that it's all about the relationship. It's about connecting with people, and that's what this show's about. That's why we get on here every day. That's why we try to grab important information that will help folks. That's why we're focused on failing forward this week and probably next week, is because we want people to understand it's all up to you to make this happen. And Jimmy, I'm just glad that we're doing the show, buddy. I'm glad that you're able to be on here this morning and not having to fly off somewhere.
Well, you know what? I'm excited about this whole process. I really am, because what we're doing with this show is attracting more and more people from throughout the industry that are able to reach out and plug in to some positive feedback on a daily basis. And John brought something to my attention about the show yesterday, and that was the chemistry that went on the show yesterday with, you know, the levity and the right amount of intensity, but yet the balance of the show. And I think it's extremely critical that as we continue to move forward, you know, if you remember right, when we originally changed the format of this, we wanted to do that so we opened it up so you and I were not the only people who were on stage.
That's so true.
You know, the microphone is the stage in this case, because, you know, one of the most important things that we as leaders can do is to raise up other leaders. And the only way that we can do that is for us to gradually start stepping away from the role of prominence and allowing other people to shine in that light. However, I got to make a caveat on this, because, you know, leadership is not something that's appointed. Leadership is assumed. And we can only do this when we've got people that are raising their hand a couple of days in advance and saying, hey, guys, you know, I want to take the lesson on Thursday. I want to take the lesson on Monday. I want to take, you know, and when you do that, that's when you become a leader. because leadership is assumed. It's never appointed and never given. Management, on the other hand, is a task that's appointed, because the difference between a manager and a leader is from whom they get their appointment. A manager gets their appointment through positional authority. Let me say that again. A manager gets their empowerment through positional authority, such as a position of rank in the military or a store manager in a traditional brick-and-mortar business or anything. They get that position appointed upon them by the establishment. As a leader, on the other hand, by stepping forward and assuming the role of a leader, what we're doing is we're raising our hand and just saying, hey, you know, count me, I'm in. And we're given our power of appointment as a leader only by those people that are willing to follow us. And in let me finish this train of thought real quick, and then I'll let you jump in there. In our industry, that one point is absolutely the ultimate of necessity, because we're in an all-volunteer organization. Go ahead, man. I'm sorry.
I fully agree with you on that. And this it is so beautiful the way things work out, because just this morning I woke up to an instant message from Mark Layton. I think it was this morning. And he said, hey, I know you've got to fly out of town to a client next week. I would like to step up to the plate and work on the radio show and help Jim with the lesson while you're out of town. So I think this is beautiful, because here we have one of the guys that runs with us all the time, that's a co-host and helps us out, saying, hey, just let me take the mantle while you're out of town. Don't even worry about it. So I think timing's beautiful, man.
God bless you, Mark. That's, you know... Yeah, and that was funny, because we didn't even talk about that beforehand this morning. That was completely unscripted. So, you know, this is one of those classic examples of, you know, everything happens for a reason, and, you know, we are merely vessels by way that a higher power communicates with others.
Oh, you know, that's the key. But, you know, Jimmy, going back to leadership and bringing it back to what we were talking about this week with failing forward, As I was just going through the chapter, one of the things that stood out to me in here that you've talked to, I mean, I've heard you on all of our radio shows, I've heard you in video and on training talk about this, but Thomas Edison, who we classify as one of the greatest inventors of all time, was considered unteachable by one of his early teachers. And I'm thinking about this, and I'm thinking, well, wait a minute. If he was classified unteachable, I know Einstein was called a crazy person, and they said he'd never amount to anything. These two guys did not take what other people said to them and internalize it. They didn't look at what their teachers said as people of authority, people in management, let's say, and say, oh, well, they must know more than me. Maybe I'm just stupid. Maybe I'm just crazy. Maybe I'm this. Instead, they turned around and used that as the fuel that allowed them to become some of the greatest minds in history, which has allowed us to have some of the greatest inventions and find out stuff that we might not have never known, you know. And I think that's important that we share today, because you've done this with me over and over. You've talked about some of the pilots that you've worked with. You've talked about people that have been on your team and how they did not internalize the failure. They realized that's just an event. I'm not gonna accept the rejection, and they move forward to a whole new area of success.
You know, this brings up, Troy, this brings up another conversation that you and I had a while back, and this is something that for successful Type A personalities, it's an avenue of failure or rejection. It's a coping mechanism, if you will, that I think we have a harder time with than most people.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the concept that, you know, well, I invited you once, you know, I'm not gonna follow you around and beg you to join me. You know, and the difference between an invitation and somebody, you know, not taking you seriously, not, you know, is our level of willingness to follow up with these people and just let them know that, hey, you know, the reason I presented this to you in the first place is because, you know, oftentimes in life, we don't get to choose the people that we partner with in a lot of ventures. In our business, we do get to choose that. Mm-hmm. And consequently, the reason I presented you with this opportunity is, you know, this is something where I could see us spending more time together and growing, not just as business partners, but enhancing our friendship along the way and everything as well. So it's important for us that when there's someone we value that we want to be a part of our life and a part of our business, that we don't stop, we don't give up, we don't accept no from them the first time that we offer them something. And I've been guilty of that in my life. You know, I know you and I've talked about it, and you've been guilty of it in your life. But most people who are, you know, type A excessive compulsive personalities, when they present somebody with something and that person doesn't, you know, just do a backflip and immediately see what they saw, they're like, what, are you stupid or something? You know, I mean, I get it. Why don't you? You know, and, you know, and they take offense to that, and they just don't even bother following up with this person anymore.
Yeah. Well, something
what
else that – well, Jimmy, something I've seen on myself, and maybe you don't do this, and maybe other people don't, but here's what I catch myself doing. I love it when I open up my email and somebody's had enough fortitude to say, I'm going to go and see if Troy'd be interested in this. And they'll share their presentation. Now, I'm not talking about a blanket email. I'm talking about somebody that's personally written me and said, I'd like to get a hold of you. I'd like to talk to you. Here's what I'm doing. Would you be interested? Or they call me on the phone. I love that. But then I turn around to myself and I prejudge. And I look at all these leaders I know, and I think, oh, that man, they're probably happy with where they're at, and oh, they're probably too busy, and oh, I don't want to bug them because I know they've built a big organization. Do you ever catch yourself doing that, or am I just the crazy one?
No, absolutely. You know, and I'll take that a step further. One of the things, you know, because of Aces Radio Live and the books and stuff that I'm involved with, and I know you get probably as much or more traffic like this on a weekly basis than I do. There are people who are reaching out to us all the time that are saying, hey, can you take a look at this? You know, I'm thinking about joining this, and in 9 out of 10 cases they already did, and they're just using that as a guise.
Absolutely.
To, you know, because that's what a lot of people teach, you know, as a philosophy of, you know, get in now and then, you know, share it with your friends and family and everything and say, hey, you know, I'm thinking about doing this, but, you know, I'm kind of reluctant to do it unless I've got people that are going to go with me on the journey. And just be upfront with people. It's like, hey, I'm in, and I don't care whether you're coming with me or not. I'm going to do this. Because I think that's a more powerful position to come from, because people will immediately relate to your level of commitment. And, you know, in terms of, you know, the idea of other leaders, you know, the thing I get a kick out of is when I'm contacted by people who know where we are in the industry. They know, you know, what's going on and everything, and they reach out and they say, hey, you know, I'd really love to have you as a part of our team. And the first thing that goes through my mind anymore, Troy, is, well, if you respect our opinion that much, then why are you presenting this to us instead of asking us what we're doing and why we're doing it?
That makes total sense right there.
You know, and the reason I can say that is because of a level of belief and a level of commitment. And, you know, if I was in any way, shape, or form wavering that failure was a possibility with this new business venture, you know, I couldn't say that. You know, there might be a sense of tentativeness in my voice. There might be a sense of tentativeness in my actions. But I can say the words, you know, why aren't you asking us what we're doing and, you know, why we chose to do that instead of trying to pitch me on something new? I mean, you know, do I have, you know, I'm looking for an opportunity. I want to, you know, start something new. You know, am I communicating that somehow subliminally? And a lot of people, I'm glad you brought that up, because one of the things that we see as far as subliminal communication of the fact that someone might be looking is inactivity.
Sure.
When a leader reaches a point where they're not energetically active within their organization, within their team on a daily basis, and they're not literally bouncing off the walls, you know, looking for for people, excuse me, to work with and to train with and everything, to show them how to get past all the no's, to get to all the yeses, and not only show them how, but help them to do that, then that subliminally is communicating the message that, hey, you know, things have plateaued. I might be interested in hearing something else. And those are the people that we need to be on the watch out for.
Well, that's it. That's how we keep, Jimmy, that's how we keep from failing. You know, otherwise, think about this for a second, because I think you just tapped into something there. If people are lackadaisical, they've lost the challenge, they're kind of lethargic in their organization, and we see that. And we say, man, I need to talk to them. And we go talk to them, then we're engaging ourselves. But if we sit back and we say, well, I know they're not very happy right now, but you know, I'm just gonna keep doing what I'm doing. I'm not gonna talk to them. I'm gonna go do something else. Then it's gonna look like that we're disengaged and that we're not active and that we're not trying to grow our business.
Dude, you could not have hit that more to the point than what you just did, because the word gets around. People talk. I mean, it's the reason why I put out that video and that note on Facebook last weekend that the rumors are true, because you were getting calls and I was getting calls, and there were, you know, tons of people that were getting calls, you know, and spreading rumors around. You know, it's like, you know, well, I think he left, but I don't know, and you know, don't know where he went, and all this, you know. And it's like, you know, okay, enough's enough. You know, people need to realize that, you know, yes, this is true, and, you know, and why it's true. And it's, man, I tell you what, we've been talking all week about the spirit of change and the sense of renewal and everything that's going on because of the fall air. And I can tell you, Troy, I am absolutely, I'm pumped. I have not.
You're there.
Okay. I have not felt this level of enthusiasm. It's been a long time.
Well, it's funny because I'm catching that from you, but I'm catching it from other people too, and not just with the company that you've tapped into, but there's just a handful of leaders right now. That I don't know, maybe it's blowing across the United States in the wind, I don't know, but all of a sudden these leaders have, it's like a brand new fresh air inside of them. And when I talk to them, they've been saying, you know, we've been kind of sitting on the sidelines, we've been kind of semi-retired, we've been just kind of playing. And each of them are really in very unique situations, and they're getting excited again. And I'm thinking, man, this is what this profession needs. We need guys that have made it, then kind of backed off, and now all of a sudden have this new vigor. It's like an MLM Viagra, if I could be so bold there. And they're getting excited, and they're going out there and building something again.
Oh, that's funny. That's, you know, but it's true. But we've kind of been on a bit of a rant this morning about, you know, literally a little bit of everything, and it's all valuable information. But let's touch real briefly on the topic of the chapter.
Yeah.
And that's, if you've failed, are you a failure? And this point is something that I want to clarify very quickly with one phrase. If you fail at an event, it's like getting an F on your report card or on a test while we're in school. What that failure indicates is that we failed to properly prepare for the examination. If we fail at some kind of an experience as we're going through life, it says we failed at the proper preparation for that event or experience that caused us not to get the desired results. We either failed to properly prepare, or we went about it the wrong way. There's any number of reasons why we might have failed a specific event. But the difference between failing an event and being a failure can be summed up in one word: quit. If you don't quit and you learn something about the level of preparedness or the technique that you used that didn't work, you review the sequences that led up to that failure, you learn something from it, and you keep moving forward, you can never be a failure. You will always be on the road to success, and the road to success will always be dotted with temporary setbacks, something that some people would refer to as a failure. It's a temporary setback, folks, and nothing more. And if we can put that concept into our mind, that a temporary setback, that just has a much easier to swallow ring to it than, oh, you failed.
You hit that, Jimmy, and I think while I'm sitting here and I'm reviewing this and I'm thinking about what you're saying, I want people today to stop looking at it as success and failure too. I want them to look at this as achieving or failure. And the reason I do is because as I read through his book, one thing Maxwell does is he always talks about achievers. He doesn't really focus on success, because that really is irrelevant. If you're an achiever, you will have events where you might fail at something, just like Einstein did, but you don't become the failure, because in your mind you know that you're always achieving something. You're always achieving some type of an outcome. It may not be the outcome you desire, but it's always an outcome. You always can grow through it. You can always move to that next level. And folks, you've got to realize that you are an achiever, and that's what you've got to look at from this day forward. Don't look at yourself as a network marketer. Don't look at yourself as just a husband. I want you to start wearing the brand on your forehead: I am an achiever, because that mindset alone will help you to start to attract other achievers at different levels into your own life.
You know, I want to caveat what you just said, Troy, from the standpoint that we all have the ability to excel. And one of my mentors, many, many years ago, he told me, he says, stop being such a perfectionist. Stop trying to do everything perfect, because there was only one perfect person who ever walked the face of the earth.
Amen.
As long as you're striving for perfection, you will always be disappointed. Instead of perfection, strive for excellence. Excellence of performance, but more importantly, excellence of service. And that was a pretty powerful statement, because when you think about it, it really does open your eyes to what's going on. And this same person, it was a W-4 as I was getting ready to go to flight school many, many years ago, he told me, he says, never lose sight of where you come from, and you'll never lose sight of where you're going.
That's right. You know, that's perfect.
The minute that we stop thinking about, Troy, the minute we stop thinking about what it's like to be in that new person's shoes and the struggles that they're going through starting their business, we can lose touch as leaders with the ability to connect with those people and empathize with the struggles that they're experiencing.
Well, and you brought something up there, Jimmy, and I'm gonna throw this to people. And I want them to take, just for a minute, just take the spiritual connotations out. There's no spirituality in what I'm about to say. I challenge you to pick up a Bible. Go to the Old Testament. You go to the New Testament. I don't care where you go. Start reading stories about the men and the women that the stories are about that God put in the Bible. And you're going to see where, on the surface, these people look like failures. Murderers, cowards, a guy that was accused of rape. I mean, when you look at what happens here, you realize that the same thing rings true in life. It's not usually the guy with the perfect education or the girl with the perfect looks or any of that becomes successful. It's the person that says, I'm going to go do that. I'm not going to accept rejection. I'm not going to accept what the status quo is. I'm going to go out here. I'm going to find me a mentor that I can follow. I'm going to learn through my mistakes, and I'm going to take this to a whole new level of experience in my life, Jimmy. And I think that's exactly I said it in a different way, but it's the same principle here as what your mentor was saying. You don't forget where you came from, but you don't let that hold you back either. You just kick this thing up and move forward.
You're absolutely right, man. And you know what? With that being said, we got a pretty full house this morning, so I'd like to, if you're in front of the switchboard, I'd like for you to open up the lines and allow anybody who wishes to chime in and give their feedback on the stuff that we've been talking about.
I just flipped back around and I see a young man from the East Coast with his hand up. How you doing, Godfather?
Godfather, young boy, oh boy, really putting it on me. You know, there is no such thing as failure if you keep moving. Our job is to turn obstacles into stepping stones. And Troy, you've raised enough kids to understand that when they want something, they will go at it straight forward again, and around if they want something bad enough. Am I right?
That is correct.
Because failure cannot withstand persistence. Jim, like you said earlier, it's only when you quit, it's only when you give up that you fail. If you're a sailor and you take a sailboat out and, you know, you set a course to go somewhere and all of a sudden the winds, you know, there's a saying, the winds have changed. Okay, so the winds change. You don't say, well, you know, I'm not going to point B. You just alter your route to get there. And that's...
You know, Mark, you just brought up something. Forgive me for interrupting you here on this.
Okay.
You brought up something that is noteworthy of caveating, and that's the concept of persistence. Because I would like to remind everybody that in the battle between the rock and the water, take a look at the Grand Canyon. Who won the battle between the rock and the water?
Water always wins. It just takes time.
It wins because of persistence. Exactly.
You know, you just hit on something there, Jimmy, because just this last week I watched a TV show on Discovery or History Channel called The Crumbling of America. And in watching that show, they were showing some of the dams that we had built in the 50s. And how the water pressure behind those dams have become so strong over the years that they've broken through the concrete, and that they're making little holes that are causing the ground on the other side to collapse because the water's flowing under that. And they showed a simulation of what would happen if the Corps of Engineers were not out there fixing those dams, and water, because of the persistence, would blow through anything. There's nothing out there stronger than water when it's focused in one location. And I'm telling folks right now, if you think back to the picture that we've all seen of Attitude, where they've got one little drop of water going in and the lake's just rippling effect out there. Folks, that's what you can do. One little, if you act just like a drop of water to your team in a positive fashion, you will see a ripple effect take place that could change not only your life, but the life of everyone on your team, because I'm telling you, the right attitude is contagious. Jimmy gives it to me, I give it to him, Mark gives it to Harry. I mean, this stuff just goes on and on. When you have the right attitude, you'll surround yourself with the right people.
It's also a delicious drink, too.
You know, we got 10 seconds. I just want to say thank you to everyone for being on the show. Get back with us tomorrow morning for Feedback Friday. Have a fantastic day.
God bless everybody. Have a great day.